Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is August 29th, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out the history of trading videos on the MarketsWiki Education page of johnlothiannews.com, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Episode 375 of Inside the Ice House is titled Virtus Vinnie Viola, Legendary Master of Markets on His Journey from West Point to Wall Street to the Stanley Cup. This is the episode I previewed yesterday in exclusive JLN Ice House Vinnie Viola NYSE interview by Josh King. Also, as promised, I published the Paula DePerna podcast yesterday, though it took me until 11 p.m. to publish it. DePerna has written a book, Pricing the Priceless, The Financial Transformation to Value the Planet, Solve the Climate Crisis, and Protect Our Most Precious Assets. I was beaten to the punch of publishing a podcast of DePerna by none other than Josh King and the Inside the Ice House podcast with episode 374 titled Paula DePerna on Pricing the Priceless and the Rise of Carbon Markets. For the record, for my friends at FIA, I think DePerna would make an excellent lunchtime speaker for Expo if they don't have one booked yet. I was delayed in getting to the podcast by several things, including a wake and celebration of life service for a former Cub Scout of mine who died at the age of 24. He had gone on to earn the rank of Eagle, though not in my troop. It was a very sad situation. The world is full of acronyms, some of them new acronyms slash initialisms to meet our current world. In football, we have dynamic quarterbacks like the Chicago Bears' Justin Fields. Fields will often run an RPO or a run-pass option. An RPO is also a recovery point objective, which involves how much data you need to recover from a backup in the case of a disaster. There is also now an RTO, which stands for Return to Work. It also stands for Recovery Time Objective, which is how much time you need before you are fully operational after a disaster. The Wall Street Journal has a video titled Why Banned Cotton from China is So Hard to Keep Out of the U.S. in today's online edition. The journal also has a story titled 28 Things Every Student Needs to Pack for College that includes only one thing I was told I needed when I went to college, a fan. No one told me I needed a COVID-19 kit or a laundry backpack. I did have an air popcorn popper, a refrigerator, a hot pot, and a typewriter. Cboe Global Markets is looking for a vice president of tokenization strategy. You can find out the details for the job with the link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were zero-day options have arrived for Europe's most popular stock market index from MarketWatch. Coinbase pushes deeper into derivatives, but how many people want to buy them from Fortune? And lessons for the next time after NVIDIA didn't surge and options tanked following blowout earnings from MarketWatch. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's our podcast, Paula DePerna, Inherent Contradiction and Paradox book, Pricing the Priceless. Author Paula DePerna has been in the room where it happened with such luminaries as Jacques Cousteau, Richard Sandor, and George W. Bush. She was inspired by Sandor to try to do something to deal with climate change after hearing him at an event after the Rio summit. As the president of the Joyce Foundation in Chicago, she helped Sandor start the Chicago Climate Exchange and served on the CCX board and as president of CCX International. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. OpenAI unveils ChatGPT for businesses, stepping up revenue push. The new version of its best-known product offers extra privacy safeguards, longer text prompts. OpenAI launched a corporate version of ChatGPT with added features and privacy safeguards, the startup's most significant effort yet to attract a broad mix of business customers and boost revenue from its best-known product. As with consumer versions of the company's artificial intelligence powered chat box, users can type in a prompt and receive a written response from the ChatGPT enterprise. The new tool includes unlimited use of OpenAI's most powerful generative AI model, GPT-4, as well as data encryption and a guarantee that the startup won't use data from customers to develop its technology. It also offers the ability to type in much longer prompts. My comment. This is a quote from the story. ChatGPT has been used by more than 80% of Fortune 500 companies since it was rolled out in November, OpenAI said. Here's another story, this one from New Yorker, the headline. How a man in prison stole millions from billionaires with smuggled cell phones and a handful of accomplices. Arthur Lee Cofield Jr. took money from large bank accounts and bought houses, cars, clothes, and gold. Early in 2020, the architect Scott West got a call at his office in Atlanta from a prospective client who said that his name was Archie Lee. West designs luxurious houses in a spare angular style one might call millionaire modern. Lee wanted one. That June, West found an appealing property in Buckhead, an upscale part of North Atlanta that attracts both old money and new, and told Lee it might be a good spot for them to build. Lee arranged for his wife to meet West there. My comment. Nothing like a good old-fashioned crime caper. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was the Wall Street Journal's The Fidelity Mafia Behind Big Crypto. Second was Starting the Day Like Jamie Dimon Set Me Up for Success from the Financial Times. Third was exclusive JLN Ice House Vinnie Viola NYSE interview by Josh King. John Lothian's review, that's me, of an ICE video interview of Virtu founder and former NYMEX chairman Vincent Viola. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is a story from Bloomberg. The headline, SEC probes major lender over mortgage-backed securities sold to Wall Street. The change company facing scrutiny over securities products. Firm says it's unaware of SEC investigation, denies wrongdoing. The Securities and Exchange Commission is probing the change company, a California lender that pledges to promote home ownership in undeserved communities over its mortgage-backed securities, according to people with direct knowledge of the matter. As part of the investigation, the regulator is also looking into some of the actions of its chief executive officer, Steve Sugarman, said the people who asked not to be identified discussing the investigation that hasn't been made public. Buyers of the instrument backed by the change company loans have included some of Wall Street's largest money managers, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. The next story is from the Financial Times. The headline, Cybersecurity experts lament West's failure to learn lessons from Ukraine. U.S. and its allies struggle to copy Kiev's collaborative efforts, say delegates at world's biggest cybersecurity conference. Viktor Zora, the public face of Ukraine's success against Russian cyber attacks, received a hero's welcome earlier this month on stage at Black Hat, the world's biggest cybersecurity gathering in Las Vegas. The adversary has trained us a lot since 2014, the year that Russia annexed Crimea, said the deputy chair of Ukraine's Special Communication and Information Protection Service. We evolved by the time of the full-scale invasion in February last year, when cyber became a major component of hybrid warfare. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline: Can China arrest the renminbi slide? Currency has fallen 5% this year, but investors expect further declines. China's renminbi has flirting with its lowest level against the dollar since the 2008 financial crisis, and analysis expects its strength to be further tested in the coming weeks as the country's rebound from the pandemic splutters. The currency has dropped more than 5% against the dollar this year, touching 7.29 renminbi to the greenback and just shy of a high of 7.32 renminbi hit last year, which marked the currency's weakest level in more than 15 years. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.